Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The Playhouse and That's Not Canon Productions acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are recording the show today and all surrounding areas where we live, learn, and work. We also pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Here we go, here we go. We're back in the studio.
Here we are, we're back here, we're ready to go.
We're back, we're well rested.
Well rested.
We are actually here for our final interview of season one. No, it's happy. We still have another episode coming next week, but this...
Okay!
So it's not goodbye, it's just a signpost. How are you, Chels?
Oh, I'm feeling good, yeah.
Full of vim and vigour?
Yes.
Full of vitamins too, I hope. Well... I have not had my Inner Health Plus today, but full of vitamins of life.
Full of life. Love it.
Full of enthusiasm, full of excitement. Today, we have an interview with the delightful Brisbane powerhouse herself, Steph Long.
Now, Stephanie is a fabulous performer, and we're also going to be talking about her creative practice, what she's like performing, a bit of like cheeky like advice as well for those Indeed. Who are interested in performing.
Yeah, and this episode was recorded from home, so the audio quality is not... But that's okay. We'll be back in your ear holes next week with crispy, beautiful audio. Yes.
Yeah.
So enjoy the episode.
Enjoy the episode.
Let's go.
Welcome to the show, Stephanie. We're really excited to have you here with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I guess where we can get started is you've actually got a bit of a special guest also with you for the recording today.
I sure do. So I'm recording this next to my birdcage because if I leave my parrot, her name is Audrey, if I leave and she hears me talking somewhere else in the house, she will just flop to me until I come and get her. So she's in the chair next to me. She's being a relatively good girl thus far, but she may give us a wee scream later just to make sure we remember that she's there.
We'll line up some questions for her towards the end.
Great. Yes, I'll warn her. Yeah, good.
Oh, well, Steph, you are a performer in the Brisbane scene. I would love to know how you found your way into the arts. Was it something you started as a kid?
Absolutely. I was super lucky to have parents that met in a band and did musicals together. You know, that really, really wholesome stuff. So it was definitely in the fam before I could have, you know, made the decision for myself, if that makes any sense. So, you know, I grew up watching them do gigs and seeing shows, and, you know, it piqued an interest so, so early. I was just going to be a singer. That was little Stephanie's dream, and there was absolutely nowhere else for me to go in my mind. And I'm so lucky to have had that upbringing, I suppose, and parents that supported me all the way. They, you know, they helped me do my uni degree. They very much weren't pushing me to find something safer or, you know, do something else as well. They were 100% behind me, which I think makes all the difference, to be honest. And so it's always been that way.
What kind of training did you undertake to get to where you are today?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously as a kid I did all the normal, you know, ballet at 5 years old with the little bun, and I wear big thick glasses too, and a little kid trying to do like turns with a pair of glasses on is the cutest and saddest thing you've ever seen. So I did all the normal stuff as a kid, did acting classes. I went to the University of Ballarat Arts Academy, and that is where I did my Bachelor of Arts in Musical Theatre. And that was, I went straight out of school and did that. And that was kind of that's my main training, I suppose. And they do very much cover absolutely everything there, which intense, but really amazing. And then from there, I kind of jumped into the industry little by little, and here we are.
And do you believe training is important when it comes to performing in the arts?
It's something I think about quite a lot. There she is. There's Audrey. Having done the course, I loved it, and it taught me some really, I mean, not only skills-wise and what I wanted to train, but, you know, as a human being as well. I'm not sure whether it depends where you go. I think sometimes it is a case of the name can precede itself. I think constant training is more important than having the degree saying you did the 3 years, because that doesn't necessarily get you the work yet. It definitely might help get you an agent and it might help you get in the room. But I'm still a bit out on that, even though I did the full 3 year experience. I don't think it's necessarily enough of an advantage for it to be a non-negotiable, but the training was incredible and you very much immerse yourself in the life of, you know, someone who is in musical theatre, all facets of the training. It's very intense. And like I said, not only do you learn the singing and the dancing skills, but it definitely teaches you a lot about yourself when you commit to something like that and do it full time. It's hard. It's really hard, but very rewarding.
Well, did you always picture when you were growing up going into the musical theatre pathway? Because I know you were studying singing, dancing and acting. Were you hoping to have like a specialist career just in musical theatre?
Yeah, it's funny. It was never a case of, oh, it's musical theatre or bust, to be honest. That it, like, I guess I was doing all of the, you know, all three of the skills separately and never, you know, started doing musicals when I was, oh, still pretty young, but it wasn't always that, oh, I want to be a musical theatre person. I just knew that it was going to be something. At the very least, I wanted to sing. That was kind of the, you know, if it's on stage, and like I said, my parents met in a band, so I very much, you know, grew up with more of that influence. But it did really pique my interest. I've definitely not really stayed just in the musical theatre land. If anything, it's more of a sometimes treat for me now, which I do love. I'm definitely more so into the, you know, cover singer side of it, I suppose, but I absolutely love it. And when I do get the chance to play in musical theatre land, it's definitely very special, and it's a different kind of storytelling that you can't really do singing pub covers. As much as I love it, it is a different kettle of fish, and I'm so lucky when I get to.
Do you ever get stage fright? Because it seems like you do such variety stuff, but really?
Oh man, it's something that I have learned to really channel into more of a energy than a nerves thing. But I definitely, for band gigs, not so much anymore. Depends on the location of the gig and who you're with, I suppose. But I definitely get more of I feel more of the pressure for stage stuff. Obviously, I think a lot of people are the same. And I'm very ritualistic. I have to be very specific in particular when it comes to like my pre-show rituals. And, you know, I do get a bit of performance anxiety, or at least I used to. Yeah, as I've kind of grown up, I've definitely learned how to channel that into something a bit more healthy. But occasionally, yeah, there have been a couple of gigs where I've just stood side stage and gone, I absolutely do not want to go and do this right now, but I'm absolutely about to go do it, and it's just going to happen. And it's the biggest thrill. You've really got to love this thing to do it. So it keeps you feeling alive. Something like that.
The natural beauty of performing, regardless. You're just going to get stage fright.
Absolutely. Oh, it's addictive. We must do it for some reason, hey?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And because you've done a bit of performing and some gigs in the Brisbane scene as well, have you kind of noticed there's a bit of like an essence or like something special about performing in Brisbane? Like there's a little, I don't know, an atmosphere feeling when it comes to it?
Absolutely. And I find, I mean, there is a slight amount of crossover between, I guess, if I look at the work, like the spheres of people that I have in my musical theatre side of the world and my gigging side of the world, there is a little bit of crossover. But I think above everything, and especially at the moment, there is that feeling of gratitude is really interspersed itself amongst all the industries, especially creative, of that no matter what we're doing, when we get to do it, it's so special. And I think Brisbane itself, being a relatively small scene, I guess it depends who you ask, but that in itself is really special, and you do see the same people supporting as well as performing. But yeah, I think at the moment, especially having a gig that wasn't cancelled is a pretty special thing, and everyone's definitely rallying together. You've got to. That's all we can do, right?
Oh,
that's
a weird time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a gig on the Friday night before the lockdown was announced, and we still at every gig, you sit there at your dinner break and you go, I'm so glad that this one went ahead. And it's different. The gigs feel different now. I mean, now is a bit different, seeing as there's nothing going on, but you know, before this lockdown had even kind of been hinted at, it's definitely, it's harder to stay in the industry and stay positive at the moment. And if you, you know, you've got to look out for each other. It's actually a pretty beautiful thing. And I mean, that's all you can do in a time like this is find the good stuff and find the people who need it and enjoy, actually, you know, making music is a beautiful thing as a job. You know, it's a blessing, but then to do it and still be able to when lots of people can't. It's a weird time. That's really all you can say. Hey.
It's also been like a really lovely time, I think, specifically for the Southeast Queensland theatre community, because we've really had to like get stuff on and band together because there wasn't a lot of stuff travelling in for a while there. I'd love to know throughout era that has been the last 18 months, has there been anything new that you've like new training or a new thing that you wouldn't normally do that you got to do because of the lockdown and because we were stuck at home so much?
Ooh, well, I actually did. I was part of an awesome little show called The Brisbane Bunch, which was super exciting. And I love that it did bring together people that I hadn't met and who are essentially on our doorsteps. You know, it's the internet, it might be a crazy thing, but it's also a beautiful thing, especially when you can't really see people in person. But I also got to do a band that I sing for did some live streaming gigs as well, so getting to be part of the normal, you know, the normal performing stuff, the normal material, but in such a different performative way. Like I said, the internet, I have my thoughts about it. I mean, what are you going to do? It's the only reason why we can do this. It's the only reason why we can stay connected. And so why not attempt to, you know, meld our art into what's working? Because if in person isn't working, then you've got to find something else.
Did you get to do any sort of like alternative performance? Like the Zoom things were popping off everywhere. And we know you did Carols in the House.
Oh man, yeah.
So how does it differ performing live audience versus performing to a little teeny camera?
Even when we kind of came out of that initial lockdown and there were the first time we really experienced the restrictions on, you know, no dancing at gigs and stuff, I even really felt that doing band gigs. It was so a different experience, even just not having people in front of you and having, you know, that energy in the room of people, you know, letting themselves, you know, express themselves through movement. As, you know, as silly as that may sound, it actually really does make a difference when you're working off each other. So I guess when you are then in a situation where it's a little camera, I mean, for anything that's pre-recorded, I'm sure a lot of artists are the same. I am such a perfectionist. If I have the chance to do something more than once, I'll probably do it 18 times and then end up picking the first one anyway. So if anything, I don't like when I can have more control, even though that's actually what I want. But I do love that element of live where you just, well, you've got no do-overs. You've got no do-overs, but you got to go with the times. And it is really nice to be able to just do the same performing thing, but just, it's just another kettle of fish. But it's still a good thing. And it still means that performing has been able to happen, I suppose.
You kind of mentioned it a bit briefly as well, but you've done Carols in the House and The Brisbane Bunch, which is part of the, I'd say, Theatre House umbrella, which is what we're part of as well. How's it been being in a community with creative enthusiasts and being in that umbrella of all these people that have a passion for the arts?
It's so nice, and it's honestly probably one of the first experiences that I've had. I live about halfway between Brisbane and Gold Coast, so I feel like I often, I mean, at the moment especially, not really being able to mingle and see people at shows and etc. How nice to have the community of people that, one, you know, are going through the same thing, and two, are still, you know, no matter whether we're able to create or not, are still finding ways to express that passion. And oh, it's so special, and how nice for Brisbane, and a really nice positive thing. People who really want to get this kind of stuff done, it's really important. Being motivated is hard, especially when it's a time like this. So I think Theatre House, Playhouse, all of the houses under the umbrella, I think it's really important. And hooray, cheers to you guys.
With creatives in general and artists and performers and instrument people with instruments and everything like that, everyone is like well loved with everyone, and everyone loves to just connect with people and just be there for everyone. That's what I've
absolutely
kind of found from it.
Yeah And I think it's such an antiquated idea that we're, you know, up against each other, or we're all, you know, oh, we're both going for this, we're blah blah blah. At the end of the day, if people who have supported me are winning, that's a win for me too. Like I just love that support system of it's when you can kind of get over that ego-driven thought of everything's a competition and I'm, these are, you know, people I have to look out for. I mean, it's such a high school-esque mindset, but how nice to just know that everyone's just happy for each other. we all just want to do the same thing, and there's room enough for more than one. So why choose to be anything but supportive? And especially after all, you know, the last 18 months, I think that's something really special to come out of a situation like this, is that everyone's just rooting for each other. We all know how much we love it and how much it sucks to not do it. Yeah.
I think that's really neat advice too, about like not taking someone else's win as your loss. Like, it is your win.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have 100%?
And I think no. It's something I just, being in this industry, is, it can be really hard. Whether it's, you know, I mean, I kind of feel like I have my thumb in a lot of pies. The theater thing, the sometimes cabaret style show thing, the cover scene. Like, I'm pretty lucky to do a variety of things, but the overall, like the arching umbrella of performing, I suppose, it's really hard when you combine something that you really, really love into something that you live off and you make your life off. And I think finding a balance is definitely a journey that everyone has to go through and get wrong, which is, you know, it's easy to do when something is your biggest love. I think there's just something so simple. Just be grateful for what you've got. Look after the people around you. Look after yourself. And just be a good person and good things will come to you. And if you love it, then do it. And if you start to not love it, you're allowed to change your mind. I think we just put so much pressure on ourselves. It's nice to just remember that we're also lucky to do it. And attitude of gratitude, I'm all for it.
On top of that, and on the same note, what is the main bit of advice that you think young performers would benefit from knowing if they wanted to head into the creative industry?
I've been out of uni for, I don't even want to do the maths on that, a good number of years now. And I've really been kind of, you know, in the industry since then. I did theme parks for a while before I kind of went total freelance rogue. and someone, I remember reading something once, and a good friend has reiterated it to me quite a few times throughout the years. If you give up, you got, like, the time is going to pass anyway, right? If it genuinely makes you unhappy or you're not fulfilled anymore, then sure. But when it does get tough, if it's the thing that you really want, you just got to stick to it. I remember for the longest time being stuck in a, you know, in a job that I wasn't super happy in, and kind of really losing sight of, oh, am I going to be able to actually make this happen for myself? Or is this worth the kind of, I feel so dejected and I feel so, it can get really draining, especially at the beginning. And a friend said to me, he's like, in 10 years time, you will remember this, but you won't be living it. He's like, if you love it, don't give up. And it's so worth it. It's so worth the hard work, because eventually you get to a point that you didn't think you could, and you get to do what you love. And no, I'm not saying it happens for absolutely every single person, but if you work hard, that's so like airy, very inspirational, but it's so true.
Exactly what you said though, because even though it sounds so cliche though, like never give up. I'm like, but it's so true.
Yeah.
What's the point of trying then? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, there is always room for self-reflection. And if your life genuinely takes a path in a way that you don't expect and that you want it to go, then absolutely. You know, just live your truth. Live your truth.
Was it in 2020 you did Tick Tick Boom?
Yes. So we closed the day before the world pretty much exploded. And by the world, I mean Australia. It was March the 14th that we closed. And then we were all like, oh, there's no toilet paper. And the next day I lost all my gigs. That's how I remember so specifically. How beautiful. There was a couple of us, our last gig was Tick Tick Boom, and it was literally the day before everything fell apart. So that's a beautiful thing.
Oh my God.
How memorable.
How traumatizing.
It was, let's take some toilet paper from the theater. Ha ha ha. And then boom. It was literally a Tick Tick Boom situation. But it was a perfect way to just kind of go into hibernation.
With theater and like with border restrictions and everything, it just went like that so quickly.
So fast. Yep. Oh. Yep. Yep. We had a great time. I tell you what, we enjoyed that gig. I think maybe we knew it was about to get real, but it was such a fun show. Don't do, you know, actual musicals very often anymore. So to one, be able to jump back into theater world and, I mean, it's such an amazing show. The score is so cool, and it's a nice little intimate way to work on your craft and make some beautiful theatre. Like, I had such a good time. But, yeah, it's definitely etched in my mind as like, and like 2 weeks later I was still wearing the same pair of track pants. How the times change. But it means that when we bring it back, in theory, it's going to be under much nicer circumstances and much more toilet paper. Good segue, I thought.
Hopefully much more toilet paper. Well, what I was going to ask is, like, then throughout the few months of lockdown where it was, because that show was so fresh, like, did it feel like it was – because it, like, being locked down, there was nothing happening. Like, we were just stuck at home. Like, did you feel really nostalgic for something that felt like a lifetime ago, but it was only like 2 weeks ago?
It was so unique. It was honestly that thought of, like, how did we go from having a theater full of people watching a show, having a good time? Those were the days. And then, yeah, like, I think I'd sent off an audition for something the next day, but kind of sent it off going, the world seems like it's a bit crazy at the moment. I wonder if this was worth doing. And then, like, next minute, just the emails coming in saying, hey, we'll have to cancel this one, and then realizing how real it was. And then, yeah, but you're right. It was a matter of weeks before that we were, you know, in such a normal state of life. Like, I was, you know, we had a little season, but, you know, doing normal gigs around it, and just all was humming along. You had no idea how much we were about to get flipped upside down.
Because it was such a weird time for the arts sector as well. How did it feel just trying to keep that performance skills and keep maintaining it and making sure you weren't losing it throughout the 18 months of COVID?
That's a really good question, actually. I was talking about this with a friend the other day. I think there was a period of 3 months where, 3 months between Tick, Tick, Boom ending and my first gig back, I suppose. And I felt that for the first couple of gigs, my vocal agility had definitely, I'm not going to say weakened, but it definitely wasn't, I could sing, you know, 5 gigs in a weekend and be happy, no worries. And I'd get to the end of the first gig and go, oh, I can actually feel that. Like, I will fully put my hand up and say that I locked down like a sloth. I also really needed it. I'd kind of worked myself into the ground, as I tend to do, and I'd had a massive burnout. And as bad as it sounds, it actually meant that I could regain control of my, you know, physical and mental health. So I very much kind of ducked out of the world for a bit. And then when the gigs did start coming back, I was like, oh yeah, I should probably get my life together and start getting back in the zone. And it didn't take too long, but there was definitely a little while where I went, oh, I'm gonna have to actually start doing some things now. I feel like we're in lockdown for so long, but I kind of think about it, 3 months is, it's not a long time, but it felt like it was 4 times that length. It's like a weird time warp.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, I was not a good artist. I was a human being. I took a break.
It's okay to take a break though. And we spoke to a couple of artists about that during the peak COVID. It was kind of like their moment to really reflect on their creative skills and just have a break from it, because artists work all the time though. Because Tick, Tick, Boom was just before COVID. Are we excited to discuss about what's happening with Tick, Tick, Boom?
Oh yeah. So we gonna be back, which is so exciting. And I love, I always hope that it had been mentioned, but you know, it happens a lot where it's a beautiful idea and then it doesn't really happen. But this has definitely come through again, and we're going to be doing another little cheeky weekend of shows at the end of October, which is going to be so cool. I'm so excited.
So have you guys started the rehearsal process, or is it still in the rough works at the moment, just getting
things organized? So we, as we did when we did the show last year, we very much just did not even 2 weeks, I think, of intense rehearsal. So we learnt the show in that period and then went straight into bump in. So we're doing something very similar again, where we just have a really intensive, looks like week, maybe week and a half of just boom, boom, boom. And then we'll have our little weekend of shows. It'll be easy because, Josh and I have already done the show before. We do have a new actor joining us, which is super exciting. So it'll be a bit of a harder job for him to kind of learn the titular role, the main role, and then try and fit in with people who've already done it. But we have Chris White coming on board to replace Jack Mack, which is, we're very sad to be losing Jack, but Chris is going to do an awesome job. Chris and I have been friends for a super long time, and he actually lived with me during the main lockdown last year. So we're coronavirus buddies. Wow. We drank many an adult beverage on the couch together, reminiscing our careers gone by. So it'll be really nice to, we've been cast in a few things together that either haven't come through or postponed or something. So we're actually just really excited to do a show together finally after quite a few years of friendship. So that's going to be really nice.
That's so exciting. It's yeah. Like 10 times more better when you're performing with your good friends as well. It's just
it makes such a nice difference, and everyone's just, you know, we're all, like I kind of mentioned before, when on that Tick Tick Boom stage, you know, last year, it was just three people who were plus, you know, insert how many creatives, you know, music, extra, so many people, but like we were all just so stoked to be out there and just going, you know what, you're awesome. I celebrate you. Let's all be awesome up here and just have a great time, and hopefully people enjoy it because we're having a good time no matter what. What a nice way to work.
With Tick Tick Boom coming up this year, whereabouts is this production going to be performing? Is it going to be the same venue or somewhere completely different?
No, we have moved house. We're not at Beenleigh this time. We're at the Civic Centre in Ipswich, I'm pretty sure, which is going to be amazing. A nice different space for us to work in. I don't actually know much about the space, so that it's going to be fresh, which is super cool as well. I mean, we were so lucky to work in the Creek Street Theatre in Beenleigh. Like, it was actually very appropriate, especially for a three-person show. You know, we don't need a huge space, but it's just nice to have another venue who's been interested. And oh, it's just so nice to do theatre and know that it's coming up. And by October, by the end of October, things better be back to normal. If this one gets cancelled too, that's it. Audrey and I are just going to live out in the mountains. Can't take it anymore. Yeah. I think she'd be really happy with that. She loves luck. She's been in my shirt this whole time, just wiggling around and clicking her little beak. And she's now climbing up to my shoulder. She's looking. Oh, she's a cutie.
Oh, bless.
Cute Audrey.
I wish I could show you. She's so sweet and very annoying, but I love her so much. But yes, October, bring it on. Tick Tick Boom is going to be super exciting.
Yeah.
Super exciting.
And we normally ask this question, we do ask this question to all of our guests before the end of the podcast. And it's really like, what do you call it? The focal point of Playhouse, Theatre House, because it's the home of theatre. And you would know
I'm
because
you're
part of it.
Yeah, I am. All right, go on.
Where is home for you? Or where do you call home?
That is such a big, beautiful philosophical question. Home for me. Oh, I have so many. I would say I could go really stroke the beard of wisdom with this, or I could take it really literally. No, I think I'm going to go a little bit of both. I'm a big believer in living a happy, truthful life, and it's easier said than done. My favorite phrase is live your truth, right? And for a long time, I didn't do that. And for a long time, I learned that it's very easy to portray yourself, but it's the hard work comes when you decide to really put the effort into giving yourself a life that you really deserve. I think home is a feeling of contentness, right? And I don't know whether that's necessarily a place, but I think it's a mental state, and it's a really hard one to get to. And you read those little sayings all the time where it's like, oh, you know, if you're nothing else in life, be happy. And taking the steps to do that, it's not necessarily easy. And there are so many more things that come into play than, oh, just choose to do things that you love. But also it is a little bit of that and making the best of what you've got as well. Home is a happy place. I don't think it has to be a location.
And also, wherever Audrey is as well.
I was just thinking that she's currently like in my armpit a little bit. I'm like a personal jungle gym. So for Audrey, home is wherever her favorite sunflower seeds are, which is usually with me. She's kept me sane during lockdown. Let's just say that.
I think all animals have kept people sane, not going to lie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just watch her do. I'm just like, oh, you eating? That's so interesting. I'm going to watch you for the next half an hour. She's a little dinosaur. So, like, why have I got her? Like, why is she mine? I have a dinosaur friend. She lives in my house. Like, how bizarre. I love that so much. Humans are so cute. We just love to keep things safe.
It's very true.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast with us. Thank you for chatting with us.
Thank you for having me. That was so much fun. I just love waffling on about stuff I love.
Now, before we say goodbye, is there anywhere we can catch up with your socials and also more information about Tick Tick Boom?
Ooh, okay. Well, socials wise, actually, you know what? I'm going to plug my band. I'm going to plug not only Tick Tick Boom things, but I'm also going to plug my band.
Go for it.
So Tick Tick Boom on Facebook, if you search that production company, and that is in capital letters. That will be, I'm 99.9% sure, where all of the Tick Tick Boom things are going to be posted. And if you're on Instagram, when, you know, gigs are back on and we're actually allowed to be in the outside world, it's called The Accidents Band. That's me singing my face off at a variety of different places. So social media ahoy. And if you do want some really amazing Audrey spam, it's pretty much all it is at the moment. My Instagram is _StephLong_. Come and see the green bird. She's pretty much the most exciting part of my life right now.
The green bird.
No, guys, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming in. Yeah, we can't wait to see more gigs and fabulous, well, when lockdown's over, but more fabulous gigs, more performances.
Fabulous. Yay. Definitely. October. Let's do it.
Let's lock it in.
Pick. Oh, yeah. Well, what's on this week, Charles?
Well, obviously, if you're keen to see Stephanie in Tick Tick Boom, it will open in October at the Ipswich Civic Centre. And make sure you check out that production company's socials to keep up to date with it.
Gorge. And after a year-long hiatus, one of the Sunny Coast's favourite theatre companies, Mad About Theatre, are back with more feathers, sparkles and sequins than ever before for the Aussie smash hit musical Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. For those who love or are yet to experience the Oscar-winning 1994 Australian film, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is the hilarious adventure of three loud, proud, bound for the outback to put on the show of a lifetime, complete with non-stop dance classics. This party travels to Noosa, Rockhampton and Caloundra from the 29th of October to the 13th of November.
Now, our next Playhouse pick is some fun community theatre hitting up the Bayside. Savoyards are presenting the rarely performed comedic gem, The Drowsy Chaperone. You've heard of it?
Yeah.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Cool. Okay. What else is... What? Tell us more, Chels.
You want more? Okay, here we go. So, when a diehard theatre fan plays his album, the characters come to life in this hilarious musical farce. This will play at the Star Theatre in Wynnum from the 25th of September to the 9th of October.
Come on, Wynnum.
Hopping,
that's awesome.
Hopping right now, that area.
Yeah, place to be. Now, finally, the last Playhouse pick is presented by our episode 6 roomie. I'll give you 13 seconds to remember who that was. Episode 6, early days. It was a second recording day, I think. It was very early on. He and I are going to be putting on a future smash hit ice skating production of Endometriosis on Ice.
Sam Klingner
of SK Entertainment. So definitely go back and listen to that episode if you've got some time. Of course, SK Entertainment are putting on the marvellous Menopause the Musical being presented at the Star Gold Coast. Not to be confused with the Star Wynnum or the Star Sydney. There's a lot of stars, but this star is the Gold Coast in Broadbeach. Just to clarify, it's on 24th and 25th of September. There is a matinee in there too somewhere. Celebrating its 20th anniversary, the original New York and Las Vegas hilarious hit Menopause the Musical returns to Australia in 2021. Four women at a lingerie sale have nothing in common but a black lace bra, memory loss, hot flushes, night sweats. This celebration of women set to classic tunes from the 60s, 70s and 80s is sure to be an absolute stellar night at the Star.
And don't forget that we can always show up the show notes and on our socials of all of our Playhouse picks and everything like that. How was that?
Spend some time in nature.
Go for a bit of a walk around, smell the fresh air.
Fresh air, sunshine, greenery.
The song that came into my mind was like, sunshine, lollipops and rainbows everywhere.
It is a wholesome song.
It is wholesome. Absolute legend having the wonderful Stephanie coming up onto this podcast. And we really appreciate all of her wisdom, all of her knowledge. And yeah, we can't wait to see Tick Tick Boom back up and running.
Without a doubt.
Without
what a fun
a
time.
Doubt. I'm gonna say goodbye to you, Brooke.
Oh, bye, Charles. See you soon.
Bye. Ready?
And see.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Hey there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's Matt Young, and I want you to listen to the Story Chunder podcast. It's based on the live event where Brisbane storytellers tell true and sometimes embarrassing stories from their lives for the delight and approval of a live audience. So listen in to the Story Chunder podcast. I'll see you at the Chunder.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.